And we ask you now, Lord, that you would give your special blessing to him, that anointing that you give for people that step up to do what you've asked them to do. Would you give him that for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your people, that we might know you more and know your power? In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you hear me? Good morning. I have tissues and water up here because I'm going to cry today and I'm going to get thirsty. So you just bear with me if you would be kind enough to do so. There's only two tissues in here, so I may need some help, Joseph. But thank you for grabbing the box. I appreciate it. I don't have my cheaters up with me, but I print it in a large font so I can read. Amen? Those of you that hit 50, you know what I'm talking about. Wow, my heart's full. My heart's heavy. But before we even get started, I want us to stand if we can. You know, we have a lot of football fanatics in here. We have a lot of mamas that know how to raise their voice at their kids. We all know how to get excited. And, you know, today's Father's Day, and I just want to honor Abba Father. I realize some of us come from traditional settings and we think, well, I don't raise my hand or I don't speak too loud, or, but we serve an awesome God. And what a privilege to honor him. So whatever that looks like for you, can we take a minute and honor him? And if that means you just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, hallelujah. Whatever it looks like, can we get a little noisy this morning? You know what, I was thinking about the children of Israel when they were gonna march around the walls of Jericho. Man's standard for warfare was not God's. What did he ask them to do? Help me out. What? Wow, someone's getting excited over here. Well, let's just take a minute and thank the Father. Close your eyes and lift your hands, but I just want you to think about the goodness of God in your life. So Father, we just lift our hands this morning. You just raise your voice. And we say thank you for your goodness. We applaud you. We love you this morning, oh God. We're not ashamed to lift our voices, oh God. We're not ashamed, Lord, to declare our love for you. You're a good Father. Now I want the ladies and the children to sit down and all the fathers to stay standing. And men, I want to honor you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're feeling, but I want to honor you this morning. So ladies and sons and daughters and everyone else that doesn't fit or wear a father's hat, would you just take a minute to applaud the fathers in the house? Thank you, man. I just had to do that because I realized that in this room, there's a lot of men with a lot of different backgrounds. And the idea of being honored may not fit in your wheelhouse because your father didn't know how to honor you. But I want to honor you this morning because the Father wants to honor you. Amen? Okay. Woo! We're just getting started. We have a video. Let's play the video. They have one. Just thought this was really sweet.
Hey, Reba, there's a very special day coming.
Yeah, Leah, that's what I heard too.
It's called Father's Day.
I'm really glad I have Dad.
Yeah, he's irreplaceable.
You can say that again.
Yeah. He's irreplaceable.
Our story is not a secret. When we were just little tiny babies, we didn't have a father. We were fatherless. I don't really remember it very much.
Me either. We were pretty young.
But we were adopted into a loving family.
Me. I call us it's him, Dad.
Or your partial dad.
Or anything less than my really dad.
And I'm his really daughter.
And I'm his really son.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
There are a lot of people in this world
who don't have a father.
Or who have a bad father.
Maybe that's your story.
Or maybe you can't even imagine
being loved by a good father.
But on this Father's Day,
no matter your situation,
we got some really great news.
There's a heavenly Father,
and he's a really, really good daddy.
And when you choose him,
God adopts you into his family.
And he becomes not a pretend dad,
or a partial dad,
or anything less than your really dad.
You become his really child.
Maybe young.
But two things we know from experience.
First, the love of the good father
is something to treasure forever.
Second,
God is a good father.
Being his child
makes Father's Day extra special.
Happy Father's Day!
I had searched for videos and searched, and I just kind of laid it down. And another day, I went and looked, and this one popped up. I think Kim was in my office with me, and this one just jumped at me because I realized today I'm not only speaking to fathers, I'm really speaking to young men here. I'm speaking to young ladies, really everybody. And just my prayer is, let's go ahead and pray again. Father, thank you that you are so faithful. We thank you for the things you're going to set in order this morning in our hearts. The kingdom of God, a father's heart, a father's love, a father's purpose, a father's restoration, a father's rebuke. Thank you that you're always calling us up and out of to walk into what you desire. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my heart's full. I'm an incredibly rich man. You know, the first thing a lot of people ask me when they find out we have seven children, the first question they ask is, Jeff, what do you do for a living? And I kind of let them know I rob banks or I do different, you know, fun activities on the side. And the reality is we never planned on having seven children. I couldn't even imagine being married to an amazing wife like Kim. I'm so thankful for her. She allows me to be the father that I am. She's so gracious with me and is always complimenting me. Women, tuck this into your purse. Be gracious with your man. Be gracious with your man. Pray for him. Love him as the Lord would want you to, because we need it. Sometimes we can be a mess. And all the men said, amen. I'm also thankful for, well, let me go back. So I would have never imagined having seven children. I got married when I was 30, and the Lord really had to work some things into my life because of fear of failure, seeing my father leave my mom when I was probably going into first grade. Kirk mentioned a couple of weeks ago, one of the only memories I have of dad as a young kid is him walking into my bedroom. And I was telling two guys that we're doing discipleship together Friday. I remember very vividly oak bunk beds with leather straps because I used to chew on them because I liked the salt on the leather. And dad walked in and he put his hand on my back and said, I'm leaving now. Outside of that, I really don't have much memory of dad being around. Youngest of four, huge gap between all my siblings, 10, 9, and 7. So I was really the little brother they drug around. And I grew up in the hippie age. So you can imagine bell bottoms, long hair, and black lights, and everything else that went with the hippie era. But God was gracious during that time. And so going back to just being a rich man, you know, I would have never imagined we would have seven children. But when I met Kim, there was a big fear factor of even making a commitment in marriage. because all I knew was a father that walked away from my mother. My grandparents divorced, my parents divorced. There was a lot of divorce in our family. And the Lord in his grace just really showed up and affirmed that this is the woman, besides my mom kind of giving me the gentle nudge in the rear saying, she's the gal. And, you know, we got married. 6 months later, we were pregnant with Christiana. And it's been amazing. I was 30, I'm 52 today. And I have to tell you, it's been a journey, but I've seen God's faithfulness in this journey. So there's three things I really want to share this morning. I feel like the Lord put on my heart for us. And I'm going to endeavor to interweave my story in the sermon. And then we're going to have some time for ministry because I really feel like the Lord wants to meet with us today. But the first slide, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. That is what we are. Can y'all say children of God? And you know, the first point is you are loved. And I thought, wow, Lord, you really want me to park here and talk about this? And I really believe as men, you know, we come into church and we put on our strength and our toughness, and we come in with our titles and we give the appearance that we have it all under control. But what I've learned is real manhood is about releasing that control to the Father and letting him be an Abba Father. And we'll see that in the second point with Jacob. But a couple of things that really stood out as I was preparing about you are loved is I realized that, again, in this room, some of you fathers have no really any good recollection of your relationship with your father. Also realize that there's someone here that are incredibly wounded because there wasn't a father, or a father didn't care for you, or a father was not faithful. Father made wrong choices. Some of you that are here are crying out, as I was as a young man, saying, where's the father figures in my life? Where's that daddy to wrap his arms around me? Where's that daddy to talk to me about that first date? Where's the daddy to help me fix the car? So I realize and acknowledge that there's some people in the room today, young men, young women, that are crying out for daddy to get it together. Or maybe dad has gone already, and there's that wound of abandonment. So a couple of thoughts stand out here. For some of y'all, maybe it was a disqualifying word that was spoken over you. You're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. You need to know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made this morning. Maybe you feel like a failure. You need to know this morning that your past doesn't define who you are. Maybe you never experienced true honoring love from a father. His banner over you is love. Maybe you walk in fear of the future because of the instability of the past. That was mine before Kim and I got married. His perfect love cast out all fear. This is a great time for y'all to be shouting amen. Not that I need it, but you know, there's something about engaging as the word is going forward. Some of you feel inadequate. I've been there. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You just can't let go of past offenses or someone's failure in your life. God's not a man that he should lie. He really does watch over his word to perform it. Maybe you've been rejected by your earthly father. He promises to be a father to the fatherless. Maybe you just can't forgive yourself. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest in your souls. I've only identified around 10. I'm sure that there's a lot of thoughts and emotions going on in the room today. And I just really want to pause for a moment and let's ask the Lord, what is his word for you in your situation? Because he desires to speak a word of truth in love to you because you're special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's called you by name. When the Bible says that he knows the number of hairs on our head, and I know some of us already have a few, he still knows the ones that were there before. But he knows, if he knows the number of hairs on your head, to me that speaks of intimacy. It speaks of a good father. Can we pause for a minute and can you ask the Lord, what is your word to me? Let's pause. Let's just wait on him. Let's just close our eyes and say, Jesus, what is your word to me as you desire to pour out your love? Several words just really stirred in my heart. You're valued. I'm proud of you. Special. I pray that you heard the Lord begin to speak his love over you wherever you're at, Father. Today I want to encourage you to let your hair down, take off the jacket of pride, and let the Father minister to you. This goes for everybody in the room today. I want to be mindful of time because there's so much. The second point is he desires relationship and intimacy. I'm going to do my best to paraphrase. You need to read this on your own, but this is the story of Jacob. We know Jacob, his name means, help me out, deceiver, supplanter. We know that he took his birthright from his brother Esau. His mother Rebekah favored him. He's now left his land, started his family, has a large family. And how many know what goes around comes around? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, whatever. So just tuck that one in as well, you younger folks. And some of you older ones that think you're being a little foolish and getting away with it, God has a way of calling you out. And so we find here, again, I'm going to go through my notes because there's so much to cover, but I want to focus on one area about how God desires relationship and intimacy with you. So we see Jacob's desired reconciliation in Genesis 32. He sends his servants to meet Esau. He's like, let me get a feel for what's happening. Got to get a pulse here. The angels of the Lord met with him a few verses before and said you're to separate into two camps. He took advice because he's thinking about the survival of his family. Hey, if Esau's going to come with his 400 men and kill some of us, well, I'll split the two up. The news doesn't appear good for Jacob. Out of fear and distress, how many have been in that place before? Maybe you're there this morning. We see Jacob splits his family. And Jacob prays in his distress, and he begins to remind God how he told him to return to his country and people. And he asked God to deliver him from the hand of his brother. And again, he reminds God of his promises, of his lineage being as the sand of the sea. I want to encourage you, really, the takeaway here is that I don't think it was so much Jacob reminding God as it was much Jacob, there you go, brother, reminding himself of the promises of God. And men, we have to rise up with the word of God and the spirit of God as we declare the word of God in the most difficult of situations that we find ourselves. It's not that God's not able. God is a man that he should not lie. And if the word says he watches over his word to perform it, and he says, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, is that an indicator that maybe he wants to get involved in the most difficult of situations we find ourselves? I'm standing here because of that. I should be a statistic. I should be in other places today. But Abba, Father. Let's go back to Jacob. I found it interesting that the gift he prepared, and the commentary I read was probably 20 years old, but it said the value of it was around 24,000. This guy was willing to resolve some things. Follow me here. I think this is really powerful. Love the Old Testament and the symbolism. Jacob then crosses a stream called Jabbok. And those of you who are theologians, forgive me if I don't pronounce words correctly. But the Hebrew name is derived either from the root meaning to empty yourself. Get this, where God was bringing Jacob to the place of emptying himself. And then we see Jacob wrestles with an angel of the Lord. Some theologians would say this was a Christophany. This was a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. The angel requests to be freed so he can go because of daybreak. Jacob then responds and says, I will not let you go until you bless me. The angel then asks, what is your name? To which he replied, Jacob. You know, the last time Jacob was asked his name probably was when Rebecca and Jacob were sitting at Isaac's deathbed. Isaac, recall, Isaac couldn't see. And what did he ask? What is your name so I can bless you? Puts the hand, his arm out, and they'd killed an animal so he could feel the hair of Esau. And he said, Esau. He was living up to his name. The second time, the angel of the Lord said, what's your name? See, many of us in this room, a certain name has been spoken over us. And as we meet and contend with the Lord, as we wrestle with him, as we separate ourselves with him in prayer. I shared last time I spoke about the garden mat in my office. It's such a sweet place. It's a dirty place, but it's a sweet place. Because it's there that I'm able to wrestle with the Lord and allow him to speak truth into my heart. Because we men need the truth of God's word. Amen? So the angel of the Lord then speaks and says, your name is no longer Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, but Israel, prince with God and soldier of God. I want to be known as a prince with God because I'm submitting myself to him and emptying myself in times of prayer and separating myself for those times so he can get a hold of my heart. So I can rise up as a prince of God. Men, our ladies, our wives need us to be princes with God. Man, you missed a great time to say amen. Our children need us to be in the place that we're princes with God. I don't know about you, men, but every day, my kids keep me on my knees. Because the world is trying to wrap their arms around them and tear them up and rip them up. And the temptations that us men face are trying to rip us away from our spouses and from our children. That's what happened to me. I know firsthand all too well. We need to wrestle with God, men. Can I get some more amens there? We need to wrestle with God so that we can have an encounter with him so that he can change us. Kirk talks about his encounter and how Debbie and the girls noticed that he was a much gentler man. He was wrestling with God. I don't know how many times I've gone to my kids and I'm so thankful for their grace towards their daddy. There's the proactive and there's the reactive, daddies. The proactive is that we choose to wrestle with God. The reactive is that we pay a high price for embracing the choices of sin because we choose not to wrestle with God. We need to wrestle with him. We need to contend for the kingdom of God. We need to contend for the Father's heart for us. I have to tell you, he's been an Abba to me. He's been an Abba. I'm not perfect. I don't stand here as one that has it all together. If anything, I should be sitting with you because I'm just one amongst you. But for the grace of God and the wrestling with God, I stand here today. But that's ongoing. I pray that I wrestle with God when I'm an old man and still wrestling. Say, Lord, I want more. Change me. Have your way in my heart. You know, I think about King David, probably would go down in history as the worst father. But the testimony of David is that he had a heart for God. Search me, O God. Create in me a clean heart. May that be our prayer today, fathers. We need to get to the place of intimacy with God. Amen? There's something that happens when we position ourselves at the place of Jabbok. If I'm saying it wrong, just go along with me. Can you say Jabbok? To be emptied out so that we can wrestle with the Lord in Peniel in such a way that we let our Heavenly Father declare his truth over our lives. It's in times like that that we encounter his goodness and experience his transformation and gain heavenly perspective. I want heavenly perspective. I don't want to get caught up in this rat race. This life is too short for me to be caught up in climbing the corporate ladder. Been there, done that. The cool thing today at 52 is I work for an amazing company selling diaper bags. Love it. I was in technology for 25 years. And I thought when I left that I was leaving all of my identity and my prestige of the resume. And God has me in an awesome place selling diaper bags. And now my wife can't even use diaper bags anymore. I mean, isn't God cute? Our old pastor used to say God's cute, isn't he? Love that story. I mentioned the word peniel earlier. I didn't finish my notes, but we see that in the conversation, his name has changed. And, you know, Jacob had that encounter. And it was at that place of Peniel that he saw the face of God. Well, we know no one can see God and live. But he had an encounter. Jabbok Peniel, Jabbok Peniel, Jabbok Peniel. Empty, fill, empty, fill, empty, fill, empty, fill. Empty, fill. Okay, we have a few minutes here. Daniel, can you play the piano and then the worship team here in a minute, if you would, please? These are some things that have really just, the Lord has used to guide me as a father. We can go to the next slide. What matters to you will matter to your children. Ephesians 5:16. Can everyone read that with me? Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Let's read it one more time. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And Psalms 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Fathers, let your kids catch you in the act of pursuing Jesus. Fathers, let your kids catch you in the act of pursuing Jesus. I didn't say religious activity. Pursuing Jesus. Fathers, let your kids catch you. This is a fun one for me. Father, let your kids catch you in the act of pursuing their mother, your wife, your gift. Kim's a gift to me. Your wife is a gift to you. Let your kids catch you pursuing their mother. Now, let me clarify. I'm going to get a plug in for the ladies here. That means go wash the dishes when mama's exhausted. Oh, I saw some nice facial expressions. Come on, ladies. Yeah. Let them catch you in the act of washing clothes and folding them. I was doing that the other day, and Anna says, "Dad, you didn't fold that towel right." She rolled it back out, and she folded it correctly. And I thanked her. Let them catch you in the act of being obedient when the Holy Spirit says, go rub her feet. Go do this. Go do that. Ladies, this is your time to say amen. By the way, I don't always get that perfect. I really don't. So please don't think that I do. Fathers, let your kids catch you in the act of pursuing them. Be present. I get together with another young man once a month, and I said, what would you say to the men if you had the platform? And he said, be present. I asked Kim, what would you say to the men if you were up here, which I thought she should have come up and preached the message. And she said, be present. I remember as a young man, my older brother had a need to always call Dad for money. I remember Dad pulling up in the driveway of our house, and he'd reach into his big pocket, all the change wrangling. And most kids would get excited thinking, wow, get some money. And I remember standing there as a little kid, almost a picture of my hands in my pocket saying, I don't want your money. I want your time. Be present, daddies. There's no job that outweighs the value of your children. I say there, I've been there, I've done that. Was in technology for years, and you know, if you're not a doctor working 24/7, you're in technology working 24/7. That's why I have raccoon eyes and a lot of white hair. Be present. You know, as a father of 7 children, our parenting style early on is what I called herd parenting. Up, eat, go. Everybody. You know, we're in a beautiful season now. We have some in the early 20s, some in the teens, and we still have our younger ones. And the Lord spoke to my heart a couple years ago and said, Jeff, you need to start meeting your older ones where they're at. The herd parenting style doesn't work any longer for them. And I really had to change. Because it's easy to go for what's convenient. And I can tell you that I'm still working on it to this day, but I love the fruit. It's sweet. It's sweet. It's sweet. Be present, fathers. Be present. Lastly, fathers, let your kids catch you in the act of pursuing others. I'm not talking religious duty. Hear me out here. I'm talking about being obedient to the call of God in your life for the sake of ministry. Amen? What matters to you will matter to your children. I'm not even going to get back to my story. Well, I have a few minutes. Long story short, there's 2 people that had a major impact in my life. Miss Campbell, I shared this with Kirk and Bill the other day. Miss Campbell ran the swimming pool behind Mom's house. After Mom and Dad divorced, we couldn't afford anything. So Miss Campbell was kind enough to let me vacuum the pool and clean the pool, but she had one requirement. It's that I sit down and participate in a Bible study. The second was my sister going to university locally here and got involved with some believers. She began to sow the seed of the word into her precious little brother. God was teeing this up. It wasn't until I was 15 that I made a solid commitment to Christ. You do the math, I'm 52 today. At that time, I've been pursuing Jesus passionately. Have I hit bumps on the road? Absolutely. Have I had to work through things and struggle? Absolutely. But I stand here as a testimony to the goodness of Abba Father. And it just rocks me that I have 7 children, because I would have never dreamed it. So I want to leave you with this. The enemy would want you to focus on the wound of the failure of Father so that you cannot experience what Romans 8:28 declares. And we know that all things work for the good, and God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So this morning, would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm gonna lay that down because I wanna encounter your word, knowing that all things work together. You know, all of my upbringing was the Father preparing me for what I have today. I just couldn't see it. And some of y'all have been holding on to certain things and just saying, no, it hurts too much. I will not forgive. What are the good things that the Father wants to do for the things that he has for you? Can we stand? I want to ask the ministry team if you could just gather around, even in front of the platform. We have one last slide. Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear. Give honor to the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land, and generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, goodwill will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure, and they have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their faces. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. We had the privilege of climbing the Sandias 11,000 feet up, and to me this is such a prophetic picture of our kids standing on the rock. You don't realize that over that ledge is 11,000. Dads, we have the privilege of leading our children to the rock, Christ Jesus, so that they can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I want to encourage y'all to come up, have ministry, and let the Lord speak to your heart, and let's encounter him this morning. Amen. Brian and the team are going to lead us on one of my favorite songs. And you know what? Don't hold back. And this isn't just for daddies. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to come up this morning. I need a few more people up here that are willing to pray, please. Brian.